Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read from verses 13 to 17 at the end. This is really an encouraging word for believers, granting us very real assurance of our salvation and security in that. So let's read 2 Thessalonians from verse 13 to 17. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What a lovely brief section of scripture, so rich in those verses. And I've got five thoughts really to share with you from that, from those verses, because it is so encouraging. First one, if you look in verse 13, the first one is, chosen you for salvation from the beginning.
Do you know, Donald, I didn't get any of that because I was in 2 Thessalonians 2.
2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. That's the first point. Second one, same verse, through sanctification by the Spirit. Second one. Third one, believing the truth. The fourth one in the next verse, 14, called by our gospel. And fifthly, end of verse 14, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Five wonderful points. From the beginning, God chose you, the Father, sanctified or set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit, because you believe the truth, called by the gospel, finally, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a magnificent promise. Amen. What wonderful assurance that is there. Now, I'd like you just to see, right at the very beginning of verse 13, there is the word but. I'm using the New King James Version. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, writing to the believers. But why does he put the word but there? Because it is a complete contrast to the previous two verses, which we've discussed before. That for those who remain in stiff unbelief and resist the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They all may be condemned. They did not believe the truth, but have pleasure and righteousness. That's the other side of life. Then he says, but. In other words, something totally different now. This is a blessing of the Lord upon those who believe and those who are saved. So that's a big thought there. What a contrast between verses 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 onwards to 17. What a contrast. That's why the word but is there. And here in these verses, coming quite clearly, is God's sovereign goal. God's sovereign goal to have you with him. That's wonderful, isn't it? From the beginning, you were chosen by God the Father, in verse 13. Writing to believers, brethren, sisters, without any doubt. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, which is something we look at quite regularly, actually, in one first chapter of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It's the same thought, and I'll explain why I picked this verse. I've shared this before, just a reminder. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Paul has been praising the Lord for his blessings, and to bless God is to worship him on bent knee. That's the meaning of the word. Now, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters, by Jesus Christ to himself, as the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will, the Father's will. I mentioned before that in the Greek here, that it is that the before creation ever came into existence, the Trinity held a council together and decided salvation of sinners and chose us in him. That's the meaning of the Greek. The Trinity held a council to plan salvation, and the Father sent the Son, as you know. The council before ever anything was created. That's why we've got in, back to 2 Thessalonians again, in verse 13, God from the beginning. See, from the beginning. I mean, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. And they held this council of the Trinity to plan salvation. And the wonderful thing is this, that he, the very verb there, chose you for salvation from the very beginning, is in what we call the Greek aorist tense. And it means God planned it from a point outside of time. What a tremendous thought. In the aorist Greek tense, it's that the Father, from a point outside of time, before time, planned salvation of you and me. Isn't that amazing? Pardon?
How do you spell aorist?
A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist. It's the Greek type of verb. That's why it's such a tremendous language for to come in. From a point outside of or before time, God, the Trinity, held the Godhead, held a council to plan our salvation.
And he chose us knowing our past, present, and future sins.
Yep. He chose us in him. Before time, before creation came into being, they had a council for this very purpose, Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. And it's borne out in verse 13 here in our text. The second point is that he chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work to bring us to Christ, new birth, new creation, new creature in Christ Jesus. But then that word sanctification is an extra. It means set apart. Set apart for the Lord. We'd have no fellowship with the things of darkness. We've been transferred from darkness to light, from Satan to God, and from hell to heaven. What a great transfer that is, isn't it?
Amen.
Sanctification, or set apart. And that word there, set apart or sanctified, again, is in what we call the middle indicative voice of Greek. Never mind that. It means that he chose us for himself. The Father made the choice. And that he wants you, the Father wants you for himself. And what he does, he makes no mistakes and he doesn't lose anyone either. That's a wonderful thing. That put the two together now. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the separating work of the Holy Spirit. Father wants you. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He's adopted you in his family, sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The adoption principle, we belong to the Father, secure forever.
Praise God.
Amazing, isn't it? The third thing is believing the truth. That's the same verse, 13. Set apart by the Spirit and believing in the truth. Of course, that's true, isn't it? And we continue to believe the truth. Because this is a great mine and a great treasure of truth. You can mine it so far, there's always much more to dig for in the Word of God, isn't there? That's wonderful. Would you go back just to the first, before the first letter, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. And Paul writes to these lovely Christians who are having quite a difficult job from those who are bringing them false teaching. And Paul says, Colossians 1, read verse 4, first of all, verse 4. He says, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Colossians 1, verse 4 and 5. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, You see, the hope, you've got a certain hope. You know what's ahead of you. The word says so. You're being with the Lord. You've got a certain hope. And it's laid up for you. Your inheritance is there. Your plot's there. Your mountain's there with your name on it. Isn't that marvelous? It's there. It's laid up for you. That glorious hope, the result of your hope is laid up for you in heaven. Glorious. That's what that verse is all about. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, but you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Marvelous, isn't it? Go back to 2 Thessalonians. That's the third point. The fourth one, look in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. It says, to wit, it means to wit, that is to your salvation and set apart sanctification. To wit, your security, your laid up store in heaven, your hope, to wit, he called you by our gospel. God took the initiative. He called you because they had their Trinity Council in heaven. And as a result of that, he called you. He called you. Well, he worked in different ways, that calling. You may not have heard the voice, but we all come, conviction of the truth, of the gospel, whatever it was, however you came to the Lord, he called you. He called you. That's what it says. To which he called you by our gospel, the gospel of salvation, the good news. Good news of salvation. Now, finally, look at the next part of verse 14, the end. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, second part. He called you by our gospel for, what for? For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope that is laid up for you. That certain inheritance that is yours. Your plot, your name is on the door. It's laid up for you for you to obtain it. For you to have it. It's a promise of the Father. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. I told you that, and I'm coming back to take you there. This is what he's saying. To obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be changed from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is that word glory? I've explained it before. Glory is honor, majesty, splendor, brilliance, light, holiness, you name it. You are going to be like Christ. You're not going to be God. You're going to be sons and daughters, but you're going to be like him, and he's going to take you into that glory. Go on to Hebrews chapter 2, just for a moment, beyond 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, to Hebrews chapter 2. This is all connected with the obtaining of glory. The obtaining of glory, the obtaining of honor, blessing. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. See, verse 9 speaks about the Lord coming to suffer. But now it says he's crowned with glory and honor in verse 9. And verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, that is, are made, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. The presence of the Father. Into glory, glory of heaven, and being like him, new body, immortal, incorruptible, like his glorious body. The scriptures are full of that. We won't go into it too much on that one. But the wonderful thing is if you just go back to 2 Thessalonians just to finish off, where it says, to obtain the glory, the obtaining of the glory. That's a wonderful word. In Greek is prosopolis, and it means to possess what is preserved for you. Isn't that lovely? Well. To possess what is preserved for you. Isn't that amazing?
It's almost like claiming it.
Yeah, well, it isn't just claiming it, it's just simply going to enter into it. He's just preserved this for you. He's obtained it for you. He's preserved it for you. It's your possession. Enter in. Well, when we go to be with him. Go back to Ephesians 1 again, but this time verse 14. Ephesians 1 and verse 14. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification by the Spirit in our text. But Ephesians 1 and verse 14. Verse 13 speaks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. At the end of verse 13 of Ephesians 1. Verse 14 says, who is, that's the Holy Spirit, the guarantee, which means down payment in the Greek, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased or preserved possession. That's it. Preserved possession. To the praise of his glory. Wonderful. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. The guarantee means a down payment, which means there's a lot more to come.
Redemption is our new body.
Pardon?
Redemption is our new body.
That's a final redemption, yeah. We are saved now, we are redeemed. But the final part is when we get a new body, like his glorious body. Yeah. We're being transformed from glory to glory, as the rest of the New Testament tells us. It says, you get the down payment of our inheritance now. The promise is preserved. It's your possession. Until your final redemption, when you have a new body, of that purchased possession preserved for you. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's absolutely awesome. Amazing.
Staggering.
Yeah. So we're chosen to obtain. That's our total security. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to obtain that glory. At the moment he's building his body, he's building his building, he's building his bride. We're in Christ by the Father's will. That counsel in eternity past. Bit of a poem here. He opened my ears and gave me to listen to his call. He sought me and he found me. Yes, Christ has done it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He has. In other words, he sought us. He caught us, he bought us, he taught us. Now we ought to give thanks for that. And just one final word, there's one Greek verb I'd like to share with you. It's proorizo, which means to predestinate or to mark out beforehand. Your plot in heaven is marked out. He's measured the perimeter. It's marked out beforehand. Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Ah, yes. Oh, terrific. We're saved from wrath and we're saved for glory. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my goodness me. We are the object of his love. We've been singing about it tonight. And out of that, we shall obtain glory. It's been preserved for us. It's a possession for us. It's a Father's gift to us. And he says, come and share it. It's your inheritance.
So he's dragged us in.
Pardon?
He's dragged us in.
Yeah. Some of us. That's not quite so poetic, is it?
Amen. Just thought I'd share that.
Faith. He's dragged us in.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word.
So there you are. Those five thoughts. Chosen by God the Father. Sanctification, set apart by the Holy Spirit. Believe in the truth. Called by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be more secure than that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians then, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A few verses there from 9 to 15. Our theme this evening is on the judgment seat of Christ. That's not a condemnation. It is a reward throne. It's called the Bema. So we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few verses from 9 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or stubble, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I read verse 16 as well. Now go over to chapter 4, and just one verse, 1 Corinthians 4, and verse 5. Same theme. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, and then each one's praise will come from God. That's wonderful that the Lord is going to praise you for your faithfulness. Now go over to 2 Corinthians, please. Put something there to go back to 1 Corinthians 3. But 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, two verses. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. The same theme. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Notice verse 9. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. That is a key scripture, being well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Although it says the judgment seat of Christ, it is not a condemnation, because it can't be, because the Lord has already taken our condemnation on the cross. Now, this is a reward throne for the believer. It's called a bima. Now, a bima, particularly in a synagogue, is that raised platform where the scriptures are read or a message is given. If you like a pulpit, if you like. It's a raised platform. It's a platform where authoritative issues are stated, say the word of God. And this is where the Lord is going to sit. At that bima, at a raised platform, whatever it displayed, we don't know. We're not there. This is a heavenly scene, of course. It's in heaven when the Lord is raptured and raised all the whole complete bride of Christ to meet him. And then following the rapture and resurrection, of course, comes this scene here. So the order of events will be the rapture and the resurrection of the church, then the bema throne and the rewards, or lack of it, and then the marriage of the Lamb. And then 7 years, when the tribulation is over, we come back with him as his bride. That's the order of events. So let's have a look at this. It is a reward throne. It's not something to be scared of or afraid of, if we're faithful to the Lord, of course. But it is only where believers are. Unfortunately, the amillennialist, and David and I know one particular person, but it's generally, who put the bema reward throne for believers at exactly the same time and place as the great white throne, which is utterly ridiculous. Now, this is a place where only believers will be after the rapture and resurrection of the church. In other words, the redeemed body of Christ. For we are God's building. We're God's, well, Christ's body. And also we're going to be Christ's bride. That comes out in Ephesians particularly. So what we're looking at here are six foundations. And that's gold, silver, precious stones in verse 12, or wood, hay, and straw. Now, obviously, many Christians are only thinking that this is a reward for works. Well, yes, that is included. but far more. It is an examination day on how we have grown in Christ faithfully.